I want to go to Psalms, the 19th chapter, and we're going to drop down to verse number 7. I want to preach or speak to you just a little bit. I say this every time when the crowd is off a little bit. I always remember this. This is the first church ever pastored, and we had started this church. And so when you start a new church, sometimes it's full, sometimes it's not. And I remember one time it come a snow, and it wasn't a whole lot. I think it was like a 6-inch snow, and only one person showed up. This man showed up, and he looked at me, and he said, "Now, Pastor," he said, "I'm a farmer." He said, "When you got one old mule in the barn, it don't take a whole pickup full of hay to feed him." Because back in them days, I didn't care if it was one or nobody. We had service. Sometimes it was just me and Sister Becky. And we just didn't believe in calling service off. It was just a different world. And so sometimes it was just me and her. And we'd just have service. But I always remember that. And so I'll try not to feed us more than we can contain tonight. But I do have this thought, and I think it's a good one. And I believe it's something that we need. Truly today, we need a renewing of the Spirit of God. A renewing of the Spirit. And I want to just minister just a little bit on that thought tonight. Would you bow your heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. And I thank you for this privilege to be in this house tonight. I ask, Lord, that you'll just anoint me. Lord, that you'll anoint my mind and my tongue. God, let me speak, God, what you would have me to speak this evening, God. I ask that you open the hearts, Lord, that we might receive this word and apply it to our hearts. And in the name of Jesus, devil, we rebuke you. If you do not steal, heal, or destroy this word. And the church says, everybody that's able, can you stand for the reading of the word of God? Starting Psalms 19, verse number 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure," "making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to desire are they than gold, yea, more than fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." And the church says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I truly believe that we need a renewing of the Spirit of God. I believe that we need a refreshing of the Spirit. Not that we have slack, but that I believe that we just go through so much more today, that we face so much more in this. And I read the story, I've read it several times, but I'd read it again maybe a month or two ago. And this pastor, pastored a fairly large church, he said one Sunday night, that he noticed that this a man and wife, a new couple, had been coming to his church, and they sat in the balcony. And he said one Sunday night he just could not take his eyes off of them as he ministered. He said he could just see a glow about them. So there's just something special. So they just enjoyed every moment, and they were just enjoying themselves. He said, sadly to know that next day that the man passed away. So he went to visit the wife, and the wife told him, said, this was not unexpected. We knew he was passing away. He had an aneurysm on the brain, and he had taken off work that we could spend time together. And said, "We just have a good testimony." I said, "God just blessed us our whole life." I said, "We have no regrets." I said, "We're just as happy." And then she said this. She said, "Pastor, I want to tell you something. He loved going to the church that you pastored. And here's why he loved it so much. He said, I love being around people that have found the honey patch." And the pastor walked away. And he said, "I know what a honey patch is." He said, "I know about finding honey in the woods and cutting a tree and bringing the honey in and how." But then he began to study. And he said what they really loved was being around people that knew how to stay renewed in the Spirit, that had eaten of the honey and was enlightened, and that was full of joy, peace, and happiness and seeking God. They loved to be around people that love God. Because they were, he said, what a compliment they paid our church. In 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, we're not turning there, but you can go read that this evening if you like. The Philistines had come against Israel. And the only person in Israel that had a sword or a spear was Saul and his son Jonathan. The enemy had taken all their weapons and they were surrounded. And so in the 14th chapter, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, he said, let's go over and find out and check the enemy out. I'm putting this in my words. And so Jonathan, he goes over away from where his father's camp was, and he goes out to where the enemy was. And he told his armor bearer, he said, we're going to go up there. And he says, if we're going to holler out to them, if they tell us to stay where we're at, they're coming to us, we'll know that God's not with us. But if they tell us to come to them, then we know that God's delivered them into our hands, and we'll go up there. So Jonathan and his armor bearer goes to this place, and you know the story, how he has to get down. He had to crawl on his hands and feet. My whole life I've preached this, and I always thought that Jonathan crawled through that hole before he called to him. But if you want to do some study and restudy that, you'll find that he called out to them, and they said, come hither, and then he began to crawl up. So they knew he was coming. He was vulnerable. And he walked up and he began to win a great victory. He killed 20 men right off the bat. And the enemy started to run and they got confused and they started killing each other. The Bible says that God sent an earthquake. And the earth began to shake. And Saul was still under the pomegranate tree. And he said, what's that noise I hear out there? Why is the enemy running? And he said, let's find out who's missing. So he numbered the people and he said, it's your son Jonathan and his armor bearer. They're missing. And God, and all of a sudden, Saul said, let's go join them. And they begin to fight. And they fought all day until the evening hours. And Saul had made a decree. And when the king makes a decree, whether it's right or wrong, you have to go by it. Saul was not a very smart man. He always got ahead of God. He always put God on the spot. And he always suffered for it. Well, Saul had told him, said, nobody in my army is allowed to eat today. This is a day of fast. But Jonathan wasn't there, so he didn't know it. Jonathan fighting all day was wore out. How many fought some battles? Do you get a little tired? Do you get a little wore out? Do you see sometimes our spirit gets a little bit low? Sometimes we get down. Well, Jonathan had fought himself, and he walked into the woods, and the Bible says honey was dripping. And he took his sword and he scooped down some honey off the ground and he ate it. And the Bible says that his eyes was opened and he was enlightened or he was strengthened. This is what we need today in the house of the Lord. We've been fighting some battles. We've been going through some things. We've been facing sickness in our families, in our homes. We've been fighting the enemy on every side. And sometimes we just get a little bit tired and our spirit gets a little down. But that's not a time to give in. That's not a time to surrender. That's a time that we begin to seek the Lord, because God has a renewing of His Spirit to put upon us. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Do you know that when Moses went down into Egypt to get the people out, that 17 times in the Bible, God promised them, people, I will take you to the land of milk and honey. 17 times. But do you know that when Moses led the children out of Egypt, that not one adult save Joshua and Caleb made it to the land of milk and honey? And as I was studying this message, I thought, God wanted every single one of them to partake. Do you know God wants us to partake of His Spirit? He said, you know what, if you read the book of Luke, you know how Luke said it? Luke said, if you being earthly know how to give good gifts to your children, evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost unto them that asked? Wow. God wants us to be renewed in the Spirit. But you know what kept the children of Israel? You know what kept them all from receiving the land of milk and honey? They knew God could do miracles. They knew that God could do things. You know, right off the bat, they needed water, and God sweetened the water. They needed food, God sent it down out of heaven. But every single time they went through a trial, instead of turning to God, they begin to gripe, to complain, and to blame God. They said, God, why did you bring us out here to die? We'd have been better off eating garlic and onions in Egypt than to die in this wilderness. And it got to the place that it even irritated Moses. You remember the place where God said, step aside, Moses, I'll destroy him. Moses said, Lord, if you destroy him, destroy me. But you know, there's other places where Moses said, God, destroy him. And you know why that Moses never seen the promised land, never went to it? It's because when the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock, he got upset because they were griping and complaining. He said, how many times don't you know God's going to supply your need? And he went and he did what? He struck the rock. You know what God did? He let water come out of the rock. But he said, Moses, because you've disobeyed me in this, because you've disobeyed me, I will not let you go. I tell you what, people, I believe with all my heart, are looking for a place, a change. The world's hungry and hurting. And it's getting more. They're getting more desperate. But they'll not come to a church that don't know how to eat at the honey pot. Come on now. They want to see joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Am I right in this? They want to see a move of God begin to take place. And so, if God refused to allow Israel to enter in, those that complained, those that, he said, I'll raise your children up. If he refused, I think sometimes that we need to begin to praise our way into the renewing of the Spirit of God. Anybody ever been drunk on the Spirit? Does it make you feel good? I tell you what, you can't help but feel good. You'll laugh, you'll not go to sleep, you'll be up all night long, everything's just good. And it does something to you. We need that today. Anybody ever got the laughing spirit of the laughing spirit of the Holy Ghost on you? You just can't help it. We need that today. You say, Pastor, that's not decent. Remember what we preached this morning? The Holy Ghost is unexpected. He's going to do things that you don't like because he don't care whether you like it or not. He is God, and he's going to do what he wants. And he don't care. He doesn't ask your permission whether he can shout you or run you or laugh you or cry you. He will do what he wants to do. And if you don't want it, you know what he does? He's just like Moses in the rock. He says, well, if you don't want it, you don't have to have it. And he goes to someone else. I believe I'm tired of letting somebody else eat my honey. Is that all right? I'm tired of somebody eating my honey. I love honey anyways. Sister Molly likes honey, don't you? I believe us. We like honey. I love it. I like it wild honey. I like it with the honeycomb in it. I just like honey. But I love the Holy Ghost even more. And when we begin to get in the Holy Ghost, well, how do you get into the Spirit? How do you get into this place? It's one thing to say that we need the move of God. Let me go back to Jonathan very quickly. Let me finish that point. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. When Jonathan ate the honey, he was enlightened. He told the other man, he said, eat of this. And they said, we can't eat of this. If we do, we'll all die. And what they did, they went hungry. And here's what they did. After a while, they couldn't stand it anymore. And they killed the unclean. And they began to eat meat with blood in it, which was a sin. And so the word got back to Saul, said, your men are eating meat with blood, unclean meat. And Saul said, he brought out his altar that he had when God first spoke to him. He said, we're going to have to repent. And he began to repent, and he fed the people the right meal. Jonathan understood that he needed a refreshing. There's 1,000 different ways they're telling you how to please God and how to please people. And it may come from some very important people in the world. But can I say this? If it's not ordained by the Holy Ghost and it's not of what God has, it's as useless as anything they are, and it will not bring peace, joy, happiness. In the end, it will bring death and destruction. We need a true move of the Holy Ghost in the house of the Lord once again, moving around and stirring up people and bringing them to the altar and drawing people into the house of God. Church, there is no shortcuts. There's no easy way about it. All you have to do is say, Lord, I surrender. I want the Spirit on me. I want you to renew me. I want to be working in the gifts of the Spirit. I want God to be using me. And I assure you, if you ask the Lord, he says, I'm faithful that I will do it. And so when you say, well, Pastor, how do we draw to this place? Jonathan, Saul was under the pomegranate tree. I'm fixing to say something. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings. But you have to get out of your routine. If your routine ain't working, get out of it. Is this all right? In fact, the note that I've got wrote down says, we have to get off the seats of do nothing. If we're going to do it. Jonathan, if he would have stayed with Saul, would have not done anything. He said, I'm getting up. I can't take this. There's something better out there. How many knows God's got something better for us? And you know what the Bible says? That if you have the Spirit of God moving in your life and you're moving into spirits, Paul said, I can even show you a more excellent way. There's even more to this. That's what he was saying. There's something about this. And so the way that we begin to accomplish eating at the honeycomb, you want to say it, the renewing of the Spirit, is we have to get rid of our ideals and return to the Word of God. We have to begin to seek the Word. I like what I know in God. But I still hold on to things that hinder me. Do you know that? I've shared this with you many times. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I began to pray for the Holy Ghost, people told me I had to do it this way and that way. Sister Judy, I was so confused. I didn't know what to do. And after I received the Holy Ghost, some of them, and they loved me, and I know they meant well, but they come up to me and said, you don't have the Holy Ghost. They said, you didn't receive it the way we did. And one woman, I'll never forget her face. I can't remember her name, but she told me, she said, you'll not have the Holy Ghost until you get in church and do what I did. Well, I didn't know what she did. And so I was so ignorant, I said, God, show me what this woman did. I wanted to do what she did. Thank the Lord that there were some people that understood that all you have to do is ask and God would fill you. Amen. You see, we have to return to what thus saith the Word. Quit. If you want to eat of this honey and be renewed in the Spirit, it's not found in no other way except in the Word of God. That's where it's found at. And the Bible says, just ask him and you shall receive. I'm going to go just a little bit before. I promise you I'll not keep you too long. And then we have to get there to where the honey is. Do you know that if you don't get where the Spirit is, you'll not move in the Spirit? And can I put this, and you're probably saying, how do you get where the Spirit is? Spirit's everywhere. The Holy Ghost is everywhere. He's with us. But do you know there's times that we have to work to get to that place. You come to church on a Sunday night and the music's good, everything's good, but if you don't press into where the Spirit is, you'll go home with a little saucer blessing. Does this make sense, anybody? I think we've quit pressing to where the Spirit is. We want this, and we know it's true, but we're not willing to do it. I can tell you this. All my life, I wanted to be where the Spirit is. And so the first person that said Jesus, I've always been the first one to jump up. Praise the Lord! People used to get on to me for it. Before I started pastoring, I've had my pastor take me in the office and say, you need to take this more serious. I said, I don't know how to take it more serious. But you see, I wanted where the Spirit is. If the Lord said run, I didn't ask why. I wanted it. I just did it. I wanted it. I wanted to press into where the Spirit is. I find myself today wanting somebody else to do it. And then when they get it, I'll get close to them. You see what I'm saying? I'll never forget this, and his name was Brother John. And poor Brother John, he wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we were going into revival, and so I got me and seven other brothers, I think there's eight of us. We fasted for 3 days. From Sunday to Wednesday, we fasted for Brother John to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And come Wednesday night, you could feel something was about to happen. It was in the air. I knew that this was going to be a service that I'd never forget the rest of my life. I knew it as I walked into church. There was just something about it. I'll never forget. I always sat, it was a church that's like this with three rows of pews. I always sat right here. Brother John always sat behind me. The whole time I went to that church, he always sat behind me. And I always knew he was back there because he always clapped at every song and he could not, had no rhythm. He always was about three, he was real slow, and he was so loud, wham, he's a steel worker, wham, and I would be in front of him, and I'd go, because I loved him, but he just couldn't keep rhythm, but I'll give him this, he loved the Lord. And I remember, I looked at Brother John that night, and I said, Brother John, God's going to do something special for you tonight. He said, I feel it, Brother Bill, and about that time, we heard a wind went whoosh, and it was a loud wind that come in to the back corner of the church. The people that were sitting in the back, there's about 300 people there at night, they begin to fall out in the Spirit. I looked at Brother John, I said, get ready. And about that time, the Lord said, I've already spoke to John. And so I said, Brother John, did the Lord speak to you? He said, yes, he did. I said, what did he say? He said, the Lord told me that if I'd run around this church 3 times, he'd baptize me in the Holy Ghost. And by that time, there's probably 100 people already fell out in the Spirit. The wind was getting closer. You could hear it. And I said, Brother John, why are you waiting on? I'll go with you. And so he took off running. And by that time, half the church was fell out in the Spirit. He ran one time. Maybe twice. I think he ran twice. And he sat down. And I said, Brother John, what did the Lord say? He said, run 3 times. I said, how many times run? He said, 2. And he said, I'll not run the third. Well, being who I am, I said, Brother John, I'm going to take what you don't want. I raised my hand towards heaven and I said, Lord, ever what you promised Brother John, I won't. And I run the third time. Now, I don't know this. About 100 people told me this. But halfway around the church, my feet left the ground. And they said I went around the whole church and never touched the floor. When I come into the choir box, I was praying this prayer. I'll never forget. I thought I was going to heaven. I said, Lord, I cannot take this. Take me on home. I want to go home. Or let up. I thought I was leaving this world. And all of a sudden, the Spirit just eased up. You say, Brother Bill, that didn't happen. I can't tell you that. I just told you that what people told me happened. But I can say this much. I don't know how many people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night, but there was a multitude that did. I can tell you one that didn't. And I can tell you one that went to his grave saying the same thing. I don't know what I done wrong, but I can't receive the Holy Ghost. It ain't what you done wrong, it's what you didn't do that keeps you. He did not receive from the Lord. You have to get to the honey patch or where the Spirit is. If you're willing to press, don't worry about what you say. What somebody think? If you worry about what they think, I'm going to tell you something. You'll be sitting on your seat when everybody else has received it. Don't worry about it. God will do it. Do you love the Lord? I got this one more. I promise I'll not keep you too long. Let me get a drink of water. This one I definitely want to cover. You have to understand. Now listen to me. And we should know this. But we have to understand the difference between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy. To get there. The enemy will lead you away from God every time. The enemy is the one to tell you, said, so-and-so thinks you're faking. God's the one telling you, obey what I'm telling you to do. Everything that God tells you will line up to the Word of God. Everything that Satan tells you, half of it will line up and half of it will not. God will always line it up. If we're going to make it, we better understand it. And you say, Pastor, there's people, maybe sitting here right here tonight, that allow the enemy to cheat you by lying to you all the time. They'll tell you, you better not get up and worship tonight. Or you better not do this tonight. Or this is the wrong night to do this. I'm telling you, if you're pleasing God, there's no wrong night to it. Understand the difference between. I don't think we should entertain the devil. The Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Submit yourself unto the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. We don't, but so many times, that's what happened to Israel. Every time they would get, do you know how many days it was from where Moses crossed over for them to get to where they was at? I believe that I've heard people that done that study, it's less than 30 days they should have been in a promised land. They traveled for 40 years. If you study the route that they took, do you know how many times they stood right there on the Jordan River? You could see it. They saw it many times. And then go right back into the wilderness. They seen it many times, but they went right back into the wilderness over and over and over again. I'm telling you, don't believe what the devil tells you. He have you going in the same circle. I'm ready to let a renewing of the Holy Ghost be a part of my life. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Do you love the Lord tonight? And then in closing, I got two more quick points. I'm going to get this one because I think this one's good. I wasn't going to do this one, but I believe it's good. Is this all right? I'm doing a lot more teaching than I'm preaching, but it's all right. Learn not to watch people. Learn not to watch people. I could give you a testimony how the devil almost cheated me out of my ministry by watching people. If you watch people, you'll never worship God. Now, during the worship service, I normally have my eyes shut because I don't want to watch nobody. Because I want to see what, I just want to be me and God. If we begin to watch people, it takes your mind off of God. And it will just keep you from receiving your renewing with God every single time. I used to go to church and I was so self-righteous, I thought I was the only one going to heaven. Almost. It was me and my four. I mean, really, when you get so self-righteous, you almost think that you might as well zone up to it. And I go to church and try to worship God. And I'd be up worshiping God and the devil would say, look over there. There'd be somebody that I knew was a sinner right next to me, worship God, he'd irritate me to death. And I'd go sit down. So Becky asked me, I said, why'd you sit down? I said, I don't want nobody to know I was worshiping them. They think I'm like him. See how self-righous I was? I dried up as a prune. Do you know what? I would love to see every empty pew full with sinners. And you may not agree with this, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been rebuked for it. I don't care. I'd love to see every one of them worshiping during worship service. He said, well, if they're not saved, they're going to get saved. If you get them worshiping, they're going to get saved. I had one man quit this church. You know why he told me he quit? Because I asked people to raise their hands and worship the Lord. He said sinners shouldn't be able to worship. They're not allowed to raise their hands. Their hands ain't clean. I said, well, if they're not clean, God can clean them. Let's worship the Lord. You see, we watch people too much. We watch them too much. The only person I want to see is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus sees me, you know what he sees? The blood applied. If Jesus can see the blood applied, surely we can see the blood applied. How many wants to get your eyes on the Lord and just see God begin to do a work? I feel the anointing of the Lord. I've got to close right here. I'm Mike Dale Griffin. I'm going to give him my third closing. If we want to truly be renewed, we always have to give God praise. You remember when he healed the 10 leopards? Out of 10 leopards, how many come back and worship the Lord? Which one did he say go and be made clean? I believe that it's all clean, but this guy got cleaned again. He was made totally whole. I'm talking about spiritually. This man was healed. He gave God praise before he ever knew he was healed. The others went to the priest. They may have come back. Bible, Jesus said, where are they? When the Lord told this man to go, he come to Jesus and said, I thank you, Lord. We begin to worship God before we receive what the Lord wants. If you can learn to worship the Lord through all your troubles and trials and heartaches and disappointments, and you can learn to put your trust in the Lord, I can say this, you'll be constantly renewed in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost will just renew you and renew you and renew you and renew you. You'll constantly be growing for God. If only thing that you can get out of this message is go home and say, I'm just going to praise God through it all. I'm going to praise God through it all. If you just begin to praise the Lord and seek God through it all, there's troubles going to be hard. I truly believe that in the next few months, I've heard a lot of Bible prophets prophesy, and the ones that I really put much confidence in that I know have never made a mistake, never been in their self, that I know about, are saying about something's about to happen. And some of them believe it's going to happen between now and the first year. Some say after the first year. It doesn't matter. I believe it's already happening. But you know what God's going to do to his people? Those that will, he's going to renew them. He's going to raise up an army in this day. A mighty army. I want to be part of that. I want to be renewed. I want people to come around me because they know I love the Lord. That I eat at the honey patch. That I know where the honey is. They used to sing that song, there's honey in the rock. And I'm going to tell you something, there's honey in this rock. And his name is the Holy Ghost. Do you love the Lord tonight? Does anybody have a testimony or a word this evening? Yes. Amen. I believe you can get the saucer blessings, but no, you can't. You need an experience for yourself. For some reason, we don't encourage it like we used to. I believe God's recalling us back to it. I believe God's calling the church back to the Spirit. Because I believe that we're going to need to have the Spirit moving in our churches in order to sustain what's coming. And the Bible says we're two or three are gathered together. Do you know if gas went to $15 a gallon, that there may only be two or three of us here? And I may not be one of them. It wouldn't matter as long as there's two or three, the Holy Ghost would be here. Do you see that, what I'm saying? The difference it makes in your home when the enemy approaches. Two or three. Brother Mac, when we're all by ourselves, there's always two or three, because there's always the Holy Ghost and the Son. Always three. Bear witness. You love the Lord. Give the Lord a clap of worship this evening. Praise the Lord.